Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. And we began talking last week a little bit about John's Gospel. We emphasized that John's Gospel was the last of the Gospels that were written. In fact, his Gospel might have been as many as 20 years after the next Gospel toward him. That John's Gospel contains 92% of material that is not contained in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that John wrote for a reason. In chapter 20, verse 31, he wrote that people might believe. He had a purpose. He had an intention from the Holy Spirit. He was trying to bring people to a decision, and that decision was to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And in fact, in all 21 chapters, he focuses on that fact that Jesus is divine, that he is God, God in the flesh. So let's look at John chapter 1 today and pick up with verse number 11. We read this last week, but I think it's pertinent for today. It says Jesus, it says he, but it refers to Jesus. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus knew what rejection was. Nobody likes rejection, do they? And Jesus came to a people that rejected him. But it says in verse 12, but yet all who did receive him, that's the good news. Some rejected him, but some people received him, just like you folks did. You've received him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a human will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now look at verse 18, and it says, now no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Let's pray. Father, your word is holy and righteous. Your word uplifts us and encourages us and gives us strength. Lord, we bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people here are alive? Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's great. Today we're going to talk about life, but let me ask you a couple questions. Are you enjoying life or are you enduring life? Or do you see your life as filled with pain or filled with pleasure? Or is your life filled with blessings or burdens? Does the quality of your life cause you to bless God or to complain to God? Today, God wants us to experience his life. And it's a challenge to experience his life in this world. When you're like the people down in Texas where your houses have been flooded and now you're living in temporary facilities, not knowing if you'll ever get back into your house, or if you're down in Florida and I know Sylvia, one of her friends, posted something where she was in a canoe going down her street. I'm not sure if she lived in Jacksonville, or if you are struggling with cancer right now, and we saw a friend of ours Friday night that we found out he had cancer, and he's got a wonderful attitude, but he's dealing with the suffering and the pain of cancer. Some of you folks have been there before. When you're going through those difficult times, it's hard to feel the life of God, but the life of God is a supernatural life that helps us and lifts us from our depths. It brings us out of our turmoil into his peace. The life of God. You know, God is full of life. It says in John chapter 5, verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." God is life. He is full of life. I don't know what our concept of God is. Is that God is in heaven sitting on the throne with a look of disgust or anger because of the sin of the people? I don't think that's the case. God is life. He is the fullness of life. He experiences the fullness of life regardless to the circumstances and the situations that he has to face. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, he told Moses, when Moses says, "Who do I say you are?" He says, "Tell them that I am has sent you. I am the one who is full of life, the one whose life comes from within. He is the self-existent one." God is full of life. I like what Dallas Willard said, that he says that God is the most joyous being in the universe. You see, the life of God, outflow of it is the joy of God. And so the life of God, in fact, I think all the fruit of the Spirit flows from the life of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the patience of God, the thankfulness of God, the kindness of God. So God is full of life, and he wants to give that life to us in its fullness. Jesus is also life. In fact, he is the personification of life. It says in John chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In 14:6, John says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So Jesus is life. He is the person. In fact, everything Jesus did on earth was to reflect and show the life of his Father. His life was in his words. And if you go to that next slide, gentlemen, it says, "The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal one who was with the Father and has appeared to us." The life was visible. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we see the life of God was in Jesus completely. If we go to that next slide, gentlemen, it says that Jesus revealed God's life through his words. There was a time when the disciples, some of them began to, Jesus had said that he was the bread of life and that they had to eat of him. And some people didn't understand that. And some of the disciples began to go from Jesus. And he asked Peter, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "We don't have any place to go because you have the words of eternal life." The words of Jesus were life, and they showed the life of God. What was his words like? I believe if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us how Jesus spoke. For it says, "For the words of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword." So when Jesus spoke, things happened. When Jesus spoke, there was electricity. When Jesus spoke, miracles happened. He revealed the life of God through his works. He says, "The very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me." Everything that Jesus did, his works, he revealed the Father. The same electricity and the power that was in Jesus' words were in his actions. He revealed the life. And he also revealed the life through his wonders and miracles that he performed. In fact, John's gospel lists 7 specific miracles that Jesus did that proved that he was God. Now, I don't have them all up here, but the first one was turning water to wine in chapter 2. Chapter 4, Jesus healed the nobleman's son. In chapter 5, Jesus raised the invalid who'd been invalid 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. In chapter 6, Jesus took the young man's lunch and fed the 5,000. Then he walked on water. In chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. In chapter 11, Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Could you imagine the power of Jesus' words, his works, his wonders? Jesus revealed the life of God. And Jesus is also the giver of life. Of course, we know that verse, those verses in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We go to that next slide. It says, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, you remember, and Jesus told her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. So Jesus wants us to experience his life. And let's look at this life. In fact, the word for life is the word Zoe. Now, you many folks, you might even have kids or grandkids named Zoe. But Zoe means life. There's basically three words in the Greek language used in the New Testament that speak of life. But this word Zoe is completely different than any other word because it speaks specifically of God's life. Just like in, you know, there's three different words that are used in far as love. And we know agape is the love of God. Well, Zoe is the life of God. It's only used 134 times, but 36 of those times is John's gospel. So John is focusing on the life that God wants us to have. In fact, he has uses it more times than anyone, twice as many as anybody else of writer in Scripture. It talks about the fullness of God's life. It is life to the maximum. That's the kind of life I want. I want all of God's life that he has. Zoe is life that we could experience now and later. I know I've heard sometimes that younger people, maybe the millennials, that they're not so concerned about eternal life, that they're concerned about life now. But the good news is that you could have an abundant life now and eternal life later. Let's go to that next slide. This life of God that he wants us to have. Now, this is, Jesus has this, he's the giver of this. This life is active and vigorous. It's genuine and real. It's passionate. It's full of enthusiasm. In fact, the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words. It means in God. When you're in God, you've got enthusiasm. It means meaningful, purposeful. That's one of the things that brought me to Christ as a young man, because I didn't have a meaning in my life. But when Jesus came in, he gave me meaning. He gave me purpose. It means the absolute fullness of life. He wants us to have that life and enjoy that life. Do y'all believe that? The fullness of life. Let's see. We see that this life that God gives to us, in fact, this life comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. I've got this later, but I want to put this in now. You know, when Jesus comes into our hearts, when he saves us, when we ask him to come into our life, he comes with his Spirit. And the Spirit, it says in John 6:33, is life. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the Spirit is life. The Spirit comes into us and he gives us life. And that Spirit within us changes us. It transforms us spiritually. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have become new. When we receive the Spirit of God, the life of God, we also experience the understanding of God. We go to that next slide. It says in 1 John 5:20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal God. And the life of God, the Spirit of God within us, the life of God also gives us spiritual illumination. We see that Peter would say, we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So God wants us to experience this life, the life to the fullest. All right? Let's look at more about this life. In John 10, verse 10, he says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And some versions say, to have it to the fullest, exceedingly abundantly, superior, extraordinary, uncommon, beyond measure. You say, Pastor Eddie, how can I have this in the midst of our trials? The life of God is a supernatural life that comes from God. That life can pick us up where we're at and lift us up. It can bring us from turmoil to peace. It can give our life perspective. All right, let's go to that next one. We see that this life comes through Jesus. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have the life of God. All right? John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Yet who received Him, you see, we don't earn this life. We don't achieve this life. We don't imitate this life. We're born into this life. It says in John chapter 1, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of a natural descent or a husband's decision or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So God wants us to experience His life, this abundant life, this life to the max, this Zoe to the max. Jesus said that we experience this when we're born of the Spirit. Verily, verily, I tell you, he's talking to Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and born of the Spirit. The Spirit gives life, and the Spirit gives life. All right, let's look on a little bit further. We see that Jesus, is everybody with me? I hope I haven't lost anybody yet. We're talking about the life of God. We're talking about a supernatural life, a life that He wants us to experience to the fullest. He describes it several ways in John's gospel, but maybe one of the best ways, He describes it as water. In fact, you remember the woman at the well? He offered her living water. Now, remember, by faith we receive Jesus. He comes to dwell in us by His Spirit. The Spirit gives us life, His life, and that Spirit is flowing through us. And He says in John chapter 4, verse 14, is in indeed the water I give you will become in Him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. This word welling up means to gush out or to bubble up. The life of God is alive and moving. It's overflowing. He wants us to have this continual. You know, a spring is perpetual, isn't it? I mean, when we were living in Gold Hill, we had a well. And to be able to get to water, they had to dig down 360 feet. Now, I don't know. That's a deep well. Some of you folks probably got wells about 50 feet or less. But in that particular area, they had to go down 360 feet to find water. And if you're lucky, you find one that is being fed by a spring. And that spring water is perpetual. It's not like a pond. I had an uncle's pond we'd go fishing in. You know, the water just comes in there when it rains and it stays there. And sometimes it stagnates and gets kind of nasty. But it is flowing, it is moving, the spring of water, as the Spirit of God, as we allow Him to flow through us, it is a constant flow, it is a constant flow of life into us. But it doesn't only say it's like a spring of water, I like this even better. In John chapter 7, He talks about it's a river of water. Whoever believes in Me, as Scripture has said, rivers of flowing water will flow from within them. And by this He meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive, which we receive at salvation. It's a river of water. You ever tried to drink out of the hose pipe? Well, that's not. That's what old Southerners call, I guess it's just a hose, but we call it a hose pipe. I don't know why. Does anybody call it a hose pipe? I don't know why we do that, but that's, anyway, you ever tried to drink out when it was, when it's wide open? You know, a lot of times you just want to just maybe cranch it a little bit where it's just easy and you could drink out of it. Or have you ever tried to drink out of a fire hydrant? Now, Ronnie was real concerned. Last week we moved in our place. The water was stunk like, yeah. And he said that they needed to maybe open up the fire hydrant and get all that stagnant water out. Well, the good news, Ronnie, that stink is gone. The water is good. It's living water now. Maybe not living water, but it's endurable water. And so the water is all right now. But could you imagine trying to drink out of a fire hydrant? Rivers of living water. That's the kind of life that God wants us to experience. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I say, self, why don't you experience that fullness? Why, instead of a spring, sometimes it's like you're drinking out of a mud hole? Why is it sometimes instead of a river, it's more like a trickle? You see, we control the flow. And there's things that we do sometimes that cause it. You know, I have a hard time with water hoses, you know, putting a nozzle on. I run over them with my car. I break them real easy. I don't know what it is. But sometimes, you know, if you don't have a good nozzle on there, when you wash your car, you have to do that method, you know, you're like that. And you could stop the water completely, or you could just let it flow enough to get a drink of water, or you could let it go and enough maybe to rinse off the car. As Christians, sometimes we cranch that hose. It prohibits the life of God flowing through. What could cause it? Worry. Nobody does that here, I know. Fear. Fear can stop us from doing anything, can't it? Worry, fear. Unforgiveness. Not obeying the prompting of the Spirit. So today, we have a place in that. We just need to let it flow. All right, let's go back to find out how we could experience this water. You go to that next one, brother. It's simple. It's two things he says in John chapter 1. It's to receive Jesus, to receive him, to grab a hold of Jesus. Don't you want sometimes Jesus to grab hold of you? When you're a kid, you know, you're in a thunderstorm, you know, you get up under the covers. You know, I used to sleep with my brother back in those days, and that's about the only time we get close to each other. I don't know if kids even sleep in the same beds anymore. Back in the day, the whole family slept in the same bed. You know, I remember one time at my grandpa's house, he took bricks out of the fireplace and put them in there to keep your feet warm. He must not have liked heat too much, but receive Jesus. And to receive him, you have to release. You have to release. You have to release. You have to release sin. You have to release. You know, you got to release idols. You can't carry the cross and follow Jesus and carry idols at the same time. to release. That also means repent. They asked Peter, what should we do at Pentecost? And he said, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's cranking that hose? Receive and believe. Believe means to transfer our trust onto Him. You know, I don't trust myself to do anything. I don't know if I'm just getting old and decrepit. And used to could do things with my hands anymore. It seems like the more I try to do, the more I mess up. I can't work things out. I can't figure things out. I just have to trust in Him. Trust in Him to save me, yes. But trust in Him to lead me. Trust in Him to provide for me, to trust in Him to make decisions, believe in who Jesus is, that He is the Son of God, that He is the great I Am, to believe that Jesus can and has done what He said He would do. He says, behold the Lamb of God in chapter 1, verse 29, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus did that. And believe that Jesus has accomplished His mission to purchase our salvation through His death on the cross, through His resurrection from the dead, and through His ascension into heaven. That's 1 Corinthians 15:3. This morning, how alive are you? And I preach this to myself. In my experience and fullness of life, the abundant life. I just want you to receive it today. Let go of those things. Just take your worries and drop them. You ever notice that no matter how hard you worry about something, it don't do any good? That release to God. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to let it go. Release it and receive it. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You so much for the life that You have given me.